I don't know if it's just me, but that really sounded good. Amen. Beautiful sound. Psalm 104. 104. Psalm 104. I love the Psalms. Could live in the Psalms. Spend most of my time in the Bible in the Psalms. It's praise and prayer and how God has helped, but it's reality too. David bears his heart in the Psalms. He admits who he is, things that happen to him, but he's always asking God for help. And God always comes through, amen? And we'll just read a couple verses, Psalm 104, and verse 33 and verse 34. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Good verses. Father, bless your word today. May these words be sweet. May they feed your people. And God, may we all go home just rejoicing in you. Help us now. Meet every need in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak about the sweetness of the Lord today. And the Bible is full of illustrations of this and full of scripture. But there is a reality to it. There is an experience that we have when we experience his sweetness. In Psalm 104, verse 34, it says, my meditation. And that means a deep contemplation, my meditation. We're meditating on it. It's not a passing thought. It's not something we read and we go right on and forget it. But we park there a while. And we squeeze all the juice out of it. That's what it's talking about. My meditation of him shall be sweet. And there's no argument there, amen, because the Lord is so good to us. I looked up the definition of the word sweet because I wanted to be very scholarly today. But sweet means agreeable or grateful to the taste. And that's why there's so many verses in the Bible about the sweetness of honey. And the word being sweet like honey. But it is pleasing to the smell, fragrant as a sweet rose, a sweet odor, sweet incense, something that smells good. Pleasing to the ear, soft, melodious, harmonious as the sweet notes of a flute or an organ, sweet music, a sweet voice. Boy, that was a sweet conversation. We have pleasing to the eye, it's beautiful as a sweet face. Here's a sweet face. Isn't that a sweet face? Yeah, right here. And here is an unsweet face. You know, the brow is, you know, like that. And anyway, we'll move right on. But pleasing to the eye. Fresh, not salt, as sweet water. Not sour, as sweet fruits, sweet oranges. So all our thoughts of the Lord, and that's what David is saying. My meditation of him shall be sweet. So when we think about the Lord, it's not a bitter feeling. It's not some bad look. It's a good look. Amen? I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so we look to him. And every time we look to him, it's wonderful. And we thank God for his sweetness. So those are our thoughts of the Lord. My meditation, it's a personal thing. I may think differently than you do about the Lord, or vice versa, somebody in your home. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See how personal it is. So you can read a verse about the sweetness of the Lord, but some people experience that. It's not just reading, it's not just putting some thoughts in their mind, but as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we think, and that's the ear gate goes down to our heart. It opens our heart up. And so it's a wonderful experience. When we talk about prayer, Exodus 40, 27, and he burnt sweet incense thereon. And so incense was a sacrifice for the Lord, and it's a type of prayer. It talks about it's a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. That is our prayer. In the Old Testament, it's a picture, the incense, it's our prayer. So when we go to prayer, it's a sweet thing. Amen? Because we can talk to the Lord about absolutely anything. There's a song that says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we, and Paul is talking about those that preach the word or those that share the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. That's everybody because they go everywhere. But it says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. In other words, we're giving the gospel message out. And that's a sweet thing for the Lord. So we can be sweet to him. Amen? We share that sweetness. Somebody wrote, the preachers of the gospel are to God a sweet odor of Christ. So we have our prayer, we have our preaching, or our witnessing. That's sweetness to the Lord. And we'll look at his sweetness to us too, but it's a reciprocal thing. Amen? We are sweet to him, he is sweet to us, and it just magnifies. You ever been around somebody you really enjoyed being around, and they were just sweet, and you were being sweet back? And it just kind of escalates. Amen? You ever around somebody that's not sweet? You started out sweet, but you lost some of the sweetness. Amen? And sometimes that's necessary. Amen? But the Lord is so sweet, and that's where we get our sweetness from. Amen? It's a gift from God. It's his spirit. It's his grace. It's his mercy. And when we think of him, our mind, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we think of these things, and they bring that sweetness into our heart. Psalm 47:6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. In Psalm, I think it's 137, it says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? In other words, when they were in captivity. How do you sing when you're in captivity? But the song of a soul set free, that's a different song. Amen? He hath put a song in my heart. And that's what God does, and it's just sweet, and we sing. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 15, all the way back to Exodus 15, second book of the Bible. And this is where they have just come out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. And it says in verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Now they're singing. It's not, woe is me. It's not working in a car wash or coal mine going down, down, down. You know, it's not a country western thing where the truck doesn't start and the dog ran away. You know what I mean? This is a good song. Look what God has done for us. And chapter 15 is filled with praises to God because they've been set free, because there's liberty now. And so they're pretty happy about this. And let's go down to, well, let me just explain without reading a whole much. They're happy. They cross the Red Sea. But then they come to a place called Marah. It's a place of bitterness. Remember, the waters were bitter. But God made those waters sweet. So Marah, man, what are we going to drink? Man, this is terrible. We're free here, but look what our circumstances are. So God made those waters sweet. And it says at the end of the chapter, it says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. So not only did they have sweet water there, God brought them to an oasis. So they come out. It's bitter, and God makes it sweet. Now they're in an oasis. But guess what? People aren't always satisfied. You've probably met somebody like that, you know, and you might have looked in the mirror sometime. But sometimes there's just something to complain about. And look at chapter 16, verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. God brought them out of Egyptian bondage. They're singing a song, but then they get bitter because the waters are bitter, so God makes the water sweet. And he brings them to an oasis. So now they're going on, and something else went wrong, you know. So we don't have bread and all this stuff that we had in Egypt. Now, did you bring us out here to kill us? So they're murmuring. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather it, and it goes on and on and on. So God now provides manna. Amen? And I'm not going to take the whole message to do this, but if you read through Exodus, God gave them manna from heaven. All they had to do was go out and gather it. Amen? Then they got tired of the manna. And they said, no, we want flesh. And so God brought them quails. So many that it came out their nostrils, it says. Then they got sick of that. And they complained about that. But it's God doing something, them complaining. God doing something, them complaining. You've probably never experienced that, probably ever. But anyway, it's in the Bible. Amen? But the Lord is so precious. But we can someday have a song and someday not have a song. But the psalmist is saying, as long as I live, I'm going to sing and glorify God. Amen? And that's like Paul and Silas singing praises to God at midnight in jail. And God certainly blessed that. Our thoughts, our prayers, our preaching, our singing ought to be filled with sweetness. Ought to be filled with sweetness. Filled with gratitude, harmony, beauty. Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. There's another verse that talks about the beauty of his holiness. He's beautiful, amen? He's wonderful to look on. It's just such a blessing to think about the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Sweet will of God that draws me closer. These are all different songs in our hymn book. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We're not going to meet in the nasty now and now. We're going to meet in the sweet by and by. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love the music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete, the precious name of Jesus. There was a character in the Bible, his name is Lot. He went down into Sodom. It says, that righteous man, think of it, that righteous man, in seeing and hearing what was going on around him, vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing what was going on around him. And we're going to look today because, you know, if you listen to the news or read something, you can get pretty discouraged. And your righteous soul can really be vexed by what's going on in the world. And we need that sweetness. Amen? We need that help from the Lord. We need that comfort. We need that guidance. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. What makes it sweet? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 19:10. More to be desired are they than gold, the words. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So we come to the Scriptures. That's where we see the Lord. We hear the Lord. We experience the Lord. Amen. He speaks with us, and he comforts and helps and guides and all of the things that the Lord does for us. And it's a sweet experience. Coming to church ought to be a sweet experience. We can lift up our voices and sing. Amen. And our hearts are touched because of that. In Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. When I'm supposed to have peace, I had bitterness of soul. That's what robs us of that sweetness. And it's my prayer, and I won't tell you about all the problems going on in my life. People have problems in their life. Amen? There's the devil fights, the flesh fights. Sometimes even people fight. But there's discord out there. There's all kinds of good news, but there's all kinds of bad news. I mean, the world is just seems to be going downhill morally. And so we need refreshed. We need encouraged. We need comforted. We need our minds to be cleansed. You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. All of the verses that help us. So we can go home today just rejoicing in the Lord, singing a song. Amen. You can make it up as you go home. Just make up the words. Lord, you're so sweet. I love you. Give me something good to eat. You know, I mean, whatever, however you want to make that up. But More to be desired are they than gold. It says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. My wife was reading something to me. We're driving in today, and she got this little devotional, and it's talking about how sometimes we look back, we remember some past sin that we've committed or somebody we've hurt or somebody we should have been nicer to, and maybe they're gone now, and all of the different thoughts that come to your mind. You know what? God has forgiven all of that. Amen. We are not that person anymore. We are not in that circumstance anymore, but a lot of people live in the past, and they regret what happened 10 years ago. They can't get over it, and God wants us to get over it. Amen. So that we can enjoy Him. And so He puts sweetness for bitterness. And if we keep in our minds rehashing something that we can do nothing about today, it's just going to be a bitter pill that we keep chewing. And it leaves that bad taste in our mouth. Remember, bitterness is the opposite of sweetness. Amen? I want sweetness. I don't like bitterness. I like the sweetness. Joyce made a strawberry cake, and I apologize. I sneezed right on it. I am so sorry. I am really, really sorry about that. But Ephesians 4:31, and you probably know these verses. Listen to how God does this. Let all bitterness, and then look at the other words that are involved here, the context. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. That's a terrible list to experience. Amen? Malice is ill will towards somebody. Get them, Lord. Get them. I mean, that's not sweet. Amen? But then it goes on, and it changes everything, the bitterness to sweetness. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So you put away the bitterness, and you have the sweetness. Because they can't exist. They can't coexist. Amen? If you're bitter, you can't be sweet. And we'll see that from the scripture. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You can call it whatever you want, but it will not help your heart. There is a sweetness that God defines. He tells us the source. He tells us how to attain it. And when we go and we follow His word and His truth, then we can experience that sweetness. It's a sweet fountain. Amen? It's a sweet drink of water. Bitterness is painful affliction, vexation, deep distress of mind, sharpness, severity of temper. It's the opposite of sweetness. Hebrews chapter 12, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And if there's bitterness in you, it's going to spill out. And then it affects other people. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? We've all experienced that, whether it's personally from us or to us. That bitterness can affect other people. And so God wants to give us that sweetness because that's what He wants to impress the world with. Not sharpness for destruction, but sharpness for edification. In James chapter 3, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You can't get sweet water and bitter from the same fountain. Either the fountain is sweet, or either the fountain is bitter. Amen? You know, just a little bit of bitterness can ruin a lot of sweetness. Amen? It can really do that. The flies in the ointment of the apothecary causes it to send forth a stinking savor. So here's perfume, and there's something defiled that gets in there, and it ruins the smell. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, but just a little leaven. And sometimes a little bit of bitterness can ruin your day, can ruin a relationship with somebody, can ruin what you're thinking about. Man, God's so good to us. And then the devil plants one thought. You know, please don't try to be a perfectionist because you can't really enjoy a lot. Amen? It's good to do things well, but If you judge other people by a standard that's unattainable, perfectness, then you'll be finding fault. Amen? So there's a real truth here, and I'm getting there. Amen? I'll get there in a little bit. Isn't that sweet for me to tell you that? Amen? I'm glad you're smiling. I don't know where I'm at here, but we'll see. Can a fountain send forth bitterness and sweetness? The answer is no. That's James chapter 3. Amen? The wisdom that's from above, first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. The wisdom from below is earthly, sensual, devilish. They don't mix. They do not mix. We have in Exodus chapter 15 again, okay, there's the song, and now they come to Marah, and the waters are bitter, but look what the Bible says about what God did to make the waters sweet. And he cried unto the Lord, this is verse 25 of Exodus 15, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statute and an ordinance, and he proved them there. It's a picture of the cross. And no matter what your life was like, no matter what it is like, it's the cross. It's the answer. Christ did all of this for us. We're going to be talking about salvation in Sunday school. So that does away with all your regrets. It's a new life. Amen? We're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful experience when that takes place. But here he put in the tree in the bitter waters, and they were made sweet. We're going to have the Lord's Supper today. 1 Corinthians 11:25. We read it when we do. After the same manner also, Christ took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Luke 22:20, same thing. This is at when they had that Lord's Supper. And it says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. What is he speaking of? That cup was representative of him spilling his blood, him being crucified. His body was broken. That's the broken bread. The wine speaks of the blood of Christ. That's his cup. Later on in the garden, Matthew 26:39, and follow this, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, the one he was talking about when they had the Lord's Supper, let this cup, he says, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He said, let this cup pass from me. He saw what was in that cup. It was his separation from the Father. This is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. But Christ came into the world. He was all God, but he became man, sinless man. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. So he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. But he had to come in and he had to die for our sins. And so he did that. Amen? And that helped us to be free of that penalty. But he saw that in the cup. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he drank of the cup. Psalm 23:5, you know the verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Wow. What does it run over with? It's a different cup. There's different ingredients now. Sin's been paid for. Amen? We don't have to drink of that cup anymore. Now, God gives us a cup that's running over. What's running over? He's abundant in mercy. His abundant grace, his forgiveness, his comfort, all the blessings, all the sweetness. That cup that we can drink is not a bitter cup. It's a sweet cup. It's sweetness to the soul. It's sweetness to the taste. His cup was the bitter cup. He was made to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? So he paid for our sins, and now we drink of this wonderful sweetness of the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We're free. Amen? We're free of that. We have an eternal home in heaven. That is a blessing. The sweetest story ever told, God loves you. It says in the song, the brightest promise to behold, God loves you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because I live, he said, ye shall live also. We have eternal life. We have abundant life. We all, if you're a Christian, you're thankful for eternal life. But some Christians don't live an abundant life. What is an abundant life? Well, being filled with the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness, faith, temperance. All of those things. The filling of the Spirit. What God can do for us. Amen? And so he says, listen to this word. Get the sweetness out of it. Sing. I'll put a song. I'll give you a song in your heart and put a song in your mouth. Psalm 40. God wants to do that all for us. Amen? And if we let him, we've got eternal life, but we want abundant life. And God says, you come to my fountain. There's no end to this. Amen? You can have all the abundance if you like. But we sometimes let our minds go. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's an important thing. And we'll look at that. This is still the introduction. Amen? Amen? It's a test. It's all a test. Amen? Just a test. Okay, let me find out where I'm at. Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. By the words we speak to somebody, we can bring sweetness and strength and comfort to somebody else. Amen? And they can return the favor. And that's what fellowship is. We fellowship around the sun and the blessings of God. Those are wonderful things. And hearty counsel. There's never been a friend like Jesus. But if you have a good friend, that's sweet. Because your communication is sweet. But there's never been a friend like Jesus. So Proverbs 18:24. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we have a song about that. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So here it is. The word and prayer. That can help. Amen? And we carry burdens and we carry loads and we're discouraged because we don't give that to the Lord and receive what he has for us. Friend loveth at all times. There's a song, Draw Me Nearer. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. There's a sweetness in prayer. There's a sweetness in his word. I commune with friend as friend with friend. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If you've experienced that and you've experienced his comfort, the comfort of the scriptures, and all of the grace that God can give you, you know where to go when you're down. You know where to go. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so you have this word in your mind, in your heart, in your life. And when things go wrong or you get bitter or you murmur or all of those things, God takes you back to his word because that is the answer and you've experienced that. Psalm Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Do you believe that? That's what God said. His word is sweet to the soul. Psalm 141:6, thou shalt hear my words for they are sweet. That's a promise from God. That's where we get our sweetness. Isaiah 43:24. Here's the problem. God says, thou hast brought me no sweet cane. That's the sacrifice. And the Bible talks about the sacrifice of our lips giving praise to God. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane. You have to have sweetness to give sweetness, right? And like the old preacher said, if you're thirsty, get under the fountain. Find out where the fountain or the spigot is. Amen? Well, boy, there's a lot of water in there. All I got to do is turn it on and I quench my thirst. Well, you got to go get the water. Amen? And so when we turn the spigot on, so to speak, we get the sweetness. And that helps us to give that sweetness back to the Lord. That's where prayer and the Bible come in. You can have a bad day and you open the scriptures and you see God beginning to speak to you. And it changes your heart, changes your mind. And then you can give him sweetness back. And it's just a wonderful experience. For example, I love you, Lord. And you know what he says back? I love you most. Right? I mean, well, I love you, Lord. Well, he loves me more than I love him. Because his love is unbelievable. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. And here's his response. I delight in mercy. He says, I delight in mercy. I love to show mercy. Well, that's a blessing. I need mercy. I like to get mercy, and he likes to bestow it on me. How about this one? It's me, Lord. I'm so burdened. Or I should say, it's me again, Lord. Or it's me still, Lord. I'm so burdened. He says, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Boy, what a wonderful response. It's not like, yeah, you bum. You deserve everything you're getting. No, cast your care upon me. He will forgive. He will comfort. How about this one? Lord, I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. And the Lord says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men. What's that other word? Giveth to all men liberally. So much I give to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. How about this one? Lord, I'm so worn out. I just want to take a nap. And he says, you just woke up from a nap. And, well, Lord, I just need a diversion. I mean, I'm just going crazy with all these thoughts. And he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. Amen? If you claim to know Christ as your Savior. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if we're saved, the Spirit indwells within us. The love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All of the blessings of God. Amen? This is where we get our help. I just read, man, I've 100 verses. And they all speak of the source of the sweetness. And that is the Lord. That is his word. And we go to the Lord and we ask for that, and he bestows that sweetness on us. Doesn't mean circumstances all change, but he gives comfort in the midst of those circumstances. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can be going along real well, and evil communications can corrupt that just like that. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It has to drive you back to what is good. You don't want to be like the evil that's out there and fight fire with fire. You don't do that. Whatsoever things are, well, let's read that. Philippians chapter 4. You say, I know what you're going to read. Matter of fact, I got it memorized. Well, let's read it. Amen? Because this is the time to read it. Memorize the Word of God. It'll help. Look at verse 4. Of Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Come on. Come on. Really? As long as I have breath, I will sing praises to God. Really? You really mean that? Well, that's what he's telling us. Amen? Be filled with the Spirit. There's no way to be filled with the Spirit. Well, he wouldn't tell you to be filled with the Spirit if there wasn't a way to do it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. I don't know if he meant everything. He probably didn't even. Probably made a mistake there, you know. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Isn't that Thessalonians? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. But they meant it for evil. Yeah, but God meant it for good. So all things work together for good. Even the wickedness of man, God can turn around. And so he gives us a testimony and he gives us grace and strength to go through whatever. Amen? And he's sweet. He's sweet to us. It goes on and says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think. Think. Amen? Think on these things. If there's any virtue, praise, anything that's going to help you, think on these things. He's wonderful. It's a good report. Amen? So we look and we see the Lord. That's a blessing. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Think of the Lord. Think how good he's been to you. Just a few minutes, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And when we do, we'll be able to think about how good he is and what that means to us. And I guarantee you, the mind will try and wander and try and think of something else and maybe get used to the, okay, this is the routine. But if we think, we will appreciate that sacrifice that God gave for us, and that will cause our heart to sing and love him. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your sweetness, for all the blessings that you've given to us, Lord. And I pray today that you just help us to be focused on your broken body and your shed blood, the sweetness of that gift, Lord, that's been poured out to us. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.